Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this next opportunity of life you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for a day that we have never seen before. Thank you, Lord, for your continued blessings from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to this world to die on our behalf. Heavenly Father, we know that we are faced with many challenges, and we know, Lord, that these challenges would be impossible to bear or to even confront without you in our lives. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone wants to have your Son Jesus as their advocate. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Smith will preach the gospel, that he stand bold upon those things that we can read about in your holy word. We pray, Lord, for the direction of this country. We know, Lord, that the challenges, and you know the challenges that are facing us, but we pray that we can be the church of Christ. We are citizens of heaven. And pray, Lord, we can live our lives in such a way that let our light shine before all men so that others can see our good word. Pray, Lord, that your word have free course this evening. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you're on the call tonight, not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest. You're the VIP of our audience. That is, you're a very important person to us. Now, we encourage you to open your Bible and pay attention to the things that will be talked about by our speaker. And please pay close attention to those things as it pertains to the saving of your precious soul. Tonight, I'm excited to announce our speaker tonight in person, Brother Gary Smith. He's the minister of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas. And so at this time, without any further ado, Gary, we gave you the topic and the theme, the sound of the trumpet. Isaiah 58:1. Gary, why don't you sound the trumpet about why one should obey the gospel? Let us hear you.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you, Brother Tommy, and those that are working with you and the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Thank you so much for having the vision and the will, desire to share the gospel with not only those that are in Houston, Texas, but around the world, literally around the world. We thank God for technology and for the ability to use technology even during this time of pandemics and quarantines when people are in. But you know what? People are still doing things. People are watching something and they have the cable going. We know that the time zone in Houston, Texas is central. We know it's earlier for some, it's later for some. And so we certainly appreciate you taking the time to have a desire to want to know more about the Lord. For those of you that are visitors, especially Brother Tommy just stated, you are the VIPs. And we thank you so much. We don't know you personally, but we hope to get to meet some of you. We know that this call has been going on for quite some time, and we are just excited and honored to be a part of it. So let's get right down to it, because we know it's past some of your bedtime. My assigned topic is why one should obey the gospel. Oh my goodness, why one should obey the gospel. I want to start with the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul before he obeyed the gospel. His name was Saul. And he was a persecutor of Christianity. I don't know if he just didn't understand it. He was just grounded in what he had been involved in, and he was a Jew of Jews and strict in Judaism. But boy, the Lord knocked him to his feet. And I don't know. There are those that's on the line right now. We obey the gospel under different circumstances. Some of us, our family, someone invited us to hear a message. Some of us heard it by accident almost. And I don't know where you were, but Paul, at the first passage I want to start off with is in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, a very familiar passage. And he writes the letter to Christians. Oh, he's grounded at this time. He has been converted. And he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, look, it's almost as if he's saying, look, I didn't understand. I didn't understand what I was doing before I obeyed the gospel. He said, but now, and at this time, Paul is he is the mouthpiece. He is the mouthpiece for the gospel. And I mean, he was preaching everywhere he went. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul says, "Every chance I get, I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed, I'll tell it to anybody." Why, Paul? Why will you tell it for you? It is the power of God unto salvation. Underline that word salvation. Romans 1:16. He said, unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what he said. He said, I understand now that the gospel is the key to being saved. What do you mean being saved, Brother Gary? Well, Jesus put it this way in John 3:36. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. See, we have access, and I don't think we can really fathom what everlasting life is. I do know that those with money are trying all kind of ways. Those with money, those without money are trying all kind of ways to live longer. We take care of these bodies and we polish them and we do all kinds of things. We exercise, but you ought to know, we ought to know by now, we're not going to live forever. Our physical bodies won't live forever, but there is a way that we can have access to everlasting life. And everlasting life is different than everlasting punishment, because there is also an everlasting punishment. And then he goes on to say, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but hath the wrath of God abides on him. Paul understood. He said, the gospel is the key to salvation. Salvation is to be saved from everlasting, from the wrath of God. And one thing that we do not want to experience is the wrath of God. Lord have mercy. And so the gospel, the word gospel, it's the term that means good news. If I was to translate it in English, the English translation would be a good communication. So the gospel is good news, it's like when somebody tells you something that they just can't hold and it's going to benefit you so much. He says it's good news. And I just wanted to bring some, I want to tell you why you should obey this gospel, because it is good news. Jesus, when he was on this earth in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, the gospel is good news because Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Some folk, some of us even in the Lord's church, some of us that are Christians, we sometimes diminish the fact that Jesus said, I came that you might have a better life even while you're on earth. And Lord have mercy, some of us have lived long enough, some of us have been Christians long enough to understand that the Christian life is the best life. That's good news, isn't it? It's the best life. Oh, you got to admit it. It's the best life. You know what? You sleep better. You sleep better. When you live by the principles of the gospel, you sleep better. Lord, you. Jesus says, he says this. Paul wrote a letter to the Christians in Ephesus. And he says, Jesus is the Savior of the body. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What if, sisters, what if you had a husband that would lay his life on the line? What if you had a husband like Jesus Christ? Wouldn't your life be better? Brothers, what if you had a husband that lived by the principles of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't your life be better? Some of you that know me, you know my dad, who passed away this year. He was an elder in the church for over 30 years, and my dad was a servant of servants. But some of you didn't know that my dad wasn't always a Christian. No, he wasn't. As a boy, I remember my dad obeyed the gospel when I was 8 years old. 8 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I can tell you this, him becoming a child of God transformed our entire family. Oh, that was some good news. I remember when he got baptized, and we didn't know what he was doing. He was walking. My mother's always been a Christian. He walked down, and it changed. From that day forward, my dad became a better dad. He became a better. I'm not saying we all have trials, and we won't be perfect. But the gospel is good news, because the gospel saves lives. It'll make you a better single person if you're single. It'll make you a better seasoned saint if you're a seasoned saint. The good news will make you a better child if you're a child. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me,
For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm not trying to downplay that we don't live in a dangerous, crooked world. But Christians, saints, Lord, I wish I was in church right now. I wish I could hear somebody say amen right now. Christian saints, the best life is the Christ-like life. The best life is the life that has obeyed the gospel. It will make you better. And that's why it's good news to all of us. Yes, yes, yes. It's good news because Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in Romans, I believe it's chapter 8 and verse 1, he said, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One of the benefits of obeying the gospel is that we are not condemned to a devil's hell. Lord have mercy. One of the benefits of obeying the gospel, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ can we have our sins forgiven. Only in Christ can we have redemption means to buy back. Redemption means to buy back. Christ died on the cross for our sins so we can live with him forever. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse number 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I also receive, which I preached unto you, which you also received. He said, wherein you stand, by which you are saved. It is the gospel that saved us, unless you believe in vain. He said, I delivered unto you that which I received, how that Christ died. These are the facts of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so this gospel, Lord, this gospel is key to us having the life that we really want to have. And I got to tell you, that's the good news about the gospel. The gospel has all, it's good news. It's good news because it's a better life. You're going to live better while you're on earth. It's going to make you a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better child. That's good news. It's good news because it saves us from our sins. It's good news because it redeems us from a devil's hell. And I also got to tell you the truth why you need to obey the gospel. I want to read this one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7, why you definitely need to obey this gospel. And Paul, he wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said this unto you. He said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. If you read the beginning of that passage, you see that folks have been leaning on Christians. And so I tell you the truth, the gospel is good news, but it don't mean that you're going to have a cultured life all the time while we're here. It don't mean that you're not going to have any trials. Because, you know, some folk don't want to see us do right and act right. And Paul writes a letter of comfort to those who are Christians. And he says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. And sometimes we have some troubles in this life. He says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's trying to give them comfort, but he's also giving warning. He said, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's why somebody invited you if you're visiting to this call. Someone that cares about your soul invited you to get on this call because this is serious business. I know we play and have fun and we eat and do other things and we take care of our children and we go to the gym and we trying to pass the time away, but there are some things we need to get very serious about. And I am so glad for a moment you turn the television off and you say, you know, I want to hear from God tonight. Well, you hear from God. And he says this. Now he says, when Jesus comes, he says he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And you got to know in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 11, in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 11, Jesus, after he resurrected from the grave, and he came and he had a 40-day workshop with his apostles, and he taught them things concerning the kingdom. And then as the apostles were standing there, Jesus ascended back to heaven. He ascended back to heaven, and an angel said to them, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come, he shall so come in like manner that you have seen him go into heaven." He said, "Now you standing here watching Jesus." He said, "Just like he went up, he's coming back again." And when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And you know the story of Jesus' death, how he was crucified on the cross, and he died in shame, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he died a shameful death. But when Jesus comes back, it won't be shame. It'll be glory. Yes, it's going to be a glorious day. Jesus is going to have all his boys. I shouldn't call his boys. All the angels are going to be with him. He left in shame, but he's coming back in power. In verse number 8, he says this, "In flame and fire." I don't know how it's going to look, but every eye shall see him. Every eye shall behold him. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them. Understand this, that no, not God. It won't be, ignorance will not be an excuse, especially after tonight. We cannot say we don't know of, we haven't heard about God. Even those who would try to make the claim of ignorance, Lord, there are too many Bibles, too many avenues, too many ways that we ought to be seeking God. We know we didn't make the moon. We didn't make the stars. We didn't make the sun. And he said that, "No, not God." And then he goes on to say, "And that obey not the gospel." Why should one obey the gospel? "And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on to say, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." I just read in John chapter 3, there's everlasting life, but there's also everlasting destruction. And so he says that if we do not obey the gospel, those of us that who do not obey the gospel, we stand in light of everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Then he goes on to say, why? I'm asking the question, why one should obey the gospel? Then he goes on to say, "When he shall come to be glorified in this saints." Now, we need to obey the gospel because we don't want to be in that everlasting punishment. But we also need to obey the gospel because we want to be with the glorified saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony on you was believed in that day. So why should we obey the gospel? Because it's the best, it's good news. It's the best life while we're here. It's better for us as individuals. It's better for us as we commune together. Why should we obey the gospel? Because it's the abundant life. Why should we obey the gospel? We're a better person. Why should we obey the gospel? Because it's an easier life than living for the devil. Why should we obey the gospel? Because there is no condemnation. Why should we obey the gospel? Because we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Why should we obey the gospel? Because when Jesus comes, we want to be with him and the glorified saints. Praise the Lord. If you're here, if you're listening tonight, May I extend an invitation to you to obey the gospel. Well, Brother Gary, just tell me what I need to do. I'm glad you're so glad you asked. Please, it's really quite simple. Anyone can obey the gospel if they have the right use of their mind. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So faith comes by hearing." And that's what you're doing right now. You're listening. Thank God you listen. Everybody don't listen. Everybody do not want to hear this gospel. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I made sure that I gave the scriptures, because I want you to know this is not from me. This is not from Gary Smith. This is God's word. He said this: without faith, it's impossible to believe him, Hebrews 11. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You hear God's word. You've got to believe it with all of your heart. And you've got to be willing to repent of all your sins. The Bible tells us in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, unless you accept, you repent, you shall also likewise. Repent means to turn from sin. Now, some folks will tell you that after hearing a great message, some folks will tell you just where you are, just let me pray for you. Let me pray a sinner's prayer. Some folks would say receive Jesus in your heart, but I'm preaching the Bible now. I'm talking the Bible. I'm telling you what they did in the Bible in order to obey the gospel. God going to do his part. There's a part for us to do. And so you have to change your mind. You do that right in your mind. Not saying that you're going to live an absolute perfect life, but now you turn from sin, you turn it over to God. And one of the benefits of being in Christ is that we have the benefit of even after we're in Christ, to have our sins forgiven by God. You have to repent. You must confess with your mouth. You can't be ashamed. You're a Christian now. You can't say, I want to obey the gospel, but don't tell nobody. No, Jesus himself said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. He also said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And last but certainly not least, you must be baptized in water for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen, I know you've probably been invited to a lot of things, to parties, to weddings, to birthday parties, to showers, to housewarmings, and you may have even been invited to the White House. But I can tell you this. There is no better invitation than to be invited into the house of God. And that's what you're getting right now. And you must be back. The last thing that Jesus said before he left this earth, apostles, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, he said, go ye into, therefore, teach all nations. This is the last. So it had to be important. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we extend what Jesus told his apostles, go tell the world and baptize them in my Father's name, in the Son's name, in the Holy Spirit's name. And you too can be baptized even tonight. When the first gospel sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost, when the church doors were open, and notice I said the church, when the church doors were open, and all through the book of Acts, the church most of the time was just called simply the church. Why was it just called the church? Because during that time, there was only one church. And he told them, they asked a question after the gospel was preached unto them. And the facts of the gospel is that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins. That's what you have to believe unwavering. And that gospel was preached by Peter and the rest of the apostles. And they asked the question. After that gospel was preached, it touched. The scripture said, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, it pricked. I just hope somebody. It don't have to be everybody. This is a time you can be. It's just somebody. I hope the gospel pricks your heart. And I hope the gospel will compel you to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? That's what it did for them. And they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we have to do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized in water. He told them to be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And I know this. I know Brother Tommy Brooks. I know the brothers at the Highland Heights Church of Christ and the sisters at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Wherever you are tonight, whether you're in Minnesota, or Kansas, or Iowa, Florida, whether you're in Washington, D.C., whether, even if you are out of the country right now, I know they will make a way for you be baptized. And so all you have to do is let them know that I, too, want to be baptized. And after you're baptized, this is a beautiful thing happens after you're baptized. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be. Say, how are we saved? Through the gospel, by which you are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. By which you are saved. In we are saved through the gospel. And if you want to be baptized, they'll baptize you tonight. And God adds your name, the scripture, in the Lamb's book of life. You're written, and he adds you to the church. Why you keep emphasizing the church, Brother Gary? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 4, the Bible says there's one body. And according to Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22 and 23, the body is the church. This is Bible now. The body is the church. Ephesians 4 says there is one body. There is one spirit. It's the one body. There is one church. See, God's design was when it was written and still is that all people everywhere be in his church. And he don't have a one church. Now, I don't have time to call out all the names of the different churches and the different teachings and the different doctrines, but there's only one doctrine in the Bible. And when you are baptized, you are added to that church. The Bible references the church as the church most of the time, the church of God, the kingdom of his son, the house of God, the kingdom of his dear son. In Romans 16:16, the churches of, that's why we identify ourselves as the church of Christ. But notice, every time the Bible identifies the church, it gives God, Jesus Christ, all the glory and only God. And so that's the church you'll be added to. And oh, we love you. We'd embrace you. The scripture says the angels in heaven rejoice over one. So that's why I'm just trying to reach. I know more than one. Whoever wants to be baptized, please contact Brother Tommy Brooks and Highland Heights Church of Christ, and they will make it happen. Can we pray real quick as we close this out tonight? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We love you and thank you for all your blessings. Thank you once again for everybody that's on the line tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love that you sent your son to die for us, for our sins, that one day the whole family will be joined together with you, everlasting life, and have fellowship with you. That's what we really want. And we just pray to Father for a tender heart tonight, that you will touch their heart and help them to make that decision and take the action to be saved, not tomorrow, but even tonight. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, do we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen, and God bless you.
Well, Gary, you did it. We appreciate you, man. Oh, my goodness. Appreciate you so very much. Boy, everybody needs to obey the gospel. That's certainly clear tonight. Gary Smith has done a great job, minister of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas. Brother Gary, we appreciate you so very much. And your elder tomorrow night will be coming on, Brother Barry Gibson, and we appreciate that congregation, their stand on the truth. And tonight we want to say to those members of the church, we hope you are encouraged by this message, that we should be thankful that we obeyed the gospel. Now let's pray for those who are visiting with us who are not members of the Church of Christ. Man, that's you. You're the VIP audience, and we put this call on with you in mind. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ because we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you're trying to get to heaven, you really want to go to heaven, this book is the only book that gives us this correct information. We believe that with all of our heart, that it's 100% accurate and it's authoritative. It's from God, and God has told us what we must do in order to prepare to see God's face in peace and make heaven our home. You can't do that without obeying the gospel. So what we want you to do is this. Get back with the member of the Church of Christ who invited you to this call, because they wanted you to hear this message about why you should obey the gospel. and tell them you want to obey. You want to have all those benefits that Brother Gary talked about tonight. The reason why you should obey, he did a great job on that. Go ahead and tell them you want to obey so you can be a recipient of these blessings to live a life of peace and to end up in heaven. What a great joy it is to know that angels rejoice when only one sinner repents. So we're preaching to thousands tonight. A great call, large number of people on our call tonight. It's been that way since the month of May. And for some reason this month, we've gone beyond numbers we've not seen before, because many new callers are calling in to hear about our program, and they're joining us to learn these basic gospel messages. What we want you to do is get back with the person who invited you to call. Tell them you want to obey, you want to become a member of the Church of Christ, you want to be baptized, or maybe you just want further teaching to know more about what we believe and why. And they'll make the arrangements for you. If they can't, go ahead and email me. And our whole group here, Brother Flynn and myself, we'll make sure we find a place for you to go. We'll find a place for you to study. We'll find a place for you to be baptized. We even got people in Anchorage, Alaska. If you're in Alaska, we'll take care of you there. It doesn't matter where you are, Japan. We got people in Japan listening tonight. So you just tell us where you are. No matter where you are in this world, even though it's a nationwide gospel call, it has now become worldwide. Let me say this to you. If you're seeking God, it doesn't matter where you are in this world. As Philip went to the eunuch in the desert, God will send someone to you because your soul is that precious to him. So email us, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we'll make the arrangements for you. Now, you may want to just go back and say, I just want to hear Brother Gary, I want to listen more to his word because he gave a lot of scriptures. Yes, he did. Go back and listen to him. Go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. Click on Nationwide Gospel Call. All of our sermons, all of us, be over 160 speakers, all these different topics you may want to know more about. Why we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, why baptism is essential, why there's only one church. We got all those topics on there for you to nail down what you need to know. Let me say this to you. The truth will never change. You have to hear it 10 times for it to be true. The first time you hear it, it's true, because it's coming from the scripture. And we thank you for joining. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, your son, your only begotten son, whom you gave because you so loved the world. And he gave his life. And it was him who said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And boy, are we thankful, God, that Jesus chose us sinners as friends. And you commended your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, your son would die. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for Brother Gary. We pray for him. We thank you for his family, thank you for his father, whom I love, and a great example of what it is to be a Christian, an elder in the Lord's church. Pray all is well with his soul. We thank you for his son, Gary, who's carrying on that blood-stained banner and leading the Fifth Ward congregation to heaven. Thank you for him and his elders, and we pray for the whole congregation, for we love them all. And Father, we thank you. As we know that this is a time when the world needs to hear your word, they need to hear the good news. We pray our program is reaching worldwide. And we pray for the listening audience that they can receive with meekness your engrafted word, knowing it's able to save, or believing it's able to save their souls. Thank you, Father. Continue to bless us. Please give us the wisdom we need to do what we need to do while we're on this time side of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening tonight. Tomorrow night, the elder Barry Gibson, a friend of mine, someone I love and really appreciate. Brother Barry is one of the elders of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We got a lot of elders there. And I'm so thankful that he's accepted our invitation. He's going to blow his trumpet tomorrow night about the light of the gospel. And then Friday night, we're going to have a switch in speakers. Brother Gage had lost a loved one that was death by COVID. And he's going to preach Friday, and his element is going to speak Friday night, and he's going to speak Monday night, so he'll be back on Monday night. But if, his element is going to talk about his subject. And we want you to know that we're doing everything we can to take advantage of the COVID-19 because it's given us this opportunity through this venue, through the phone call, to go into the homes of those of our friends, family, loved ones who allow us to come in for 30 minutes to share with you the Word of God. Now, here's a great announcement I want to make. Now, on our website, we have now launched a church direct, sound congregation directory according to the scripture. And those are the men who've been on my program since May, over 160 speakers, over 160 congregation nationwide, going all the way to Alaska. And we are thankful that you can go on our website now. We want you to go on there. Check it out. Enter your state, enter your name, enter the preacher name, enter your congregation name. You can search by all those different ways, and it'll populate. They'll give you, if you're traveling, relocating, or just looking for a sound place to worship. This is Brother Tommy Brooks. I love you, and God bless y'all. We love you. Join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Nationwide Gospel Call, hosted by the Church of Christ in Harlem Heights. You'll find Wesley, New York, in Houston, Texas. Have a good night.